It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you in studio once again. Hey, you through the years have talked about something called the Love Triad, and you want to revisit this subject this week, kind of a refresher course. This is real central to the kind of counseling you do.
That's right. There are a few things that just come up repeatedly, particularly in marriage counseling, which I do an awful lot of. As you know, we talked about before, what's been on my mind recently is trying to wrap up a book, and the Love Triad becomes part of this book toward the end. It's based on just some fundamental issues in all human relationships, but in marriage primarily. And so I talk to a lot of married couples, and, as I say, and invariably, as we are talking, the presenting problem has something to do with one of these three areas. Either they say there's a trust issue, mm-hmm. There's a forgiveness issue, and there's a communication issue. Now, the Love Triad is trust, forgiveness, and communion. And so you see I've used the word communion, but also the word communication. So couples typically come with reporting that they can't communicate. And one of the things that I
hear that a lot, actually, communication. Well, it's a failure to communicate. Yeah. Of course, that's a movie.
Yeah. I used to hear that a lot, and that was one of my dad's favorite movies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they talk about and communication is we recognize communication is absolutely fundamental. You have issues in the marriage, how are you going to resolve those issues if you can't talk about them? So mm-hmm. you have to have communication. But there's more to communication in terms of if you want to promote a more intimate relationship. You're really not just looking for communication. You're looking for – we also start at communication because in the Love Triad, there's no first, second, third there. I call it the Love Triad because the three are interwoven, and you can't resolve one issue if you're not resolving the others. Mm. And so starting with communication then, there is the exchange of data. And I tell the story of the counselor who had a couple that came and reported their reporting problem was we can't communicate. So apparently this session went on way past the hour and they demonstrated that they could not communicate about anything. They were talking over each other and no one was listening and they just talking in circles. And then finally the counselor said, well, we've got to bring this to a close. And it happened to be a pay scale, and they hadn't calculated how much they would owe. So he asked them if they had an idea of their income. And without even saying a word, they just kind of looked at each other, and there was an eyebrow thing. And then they both came up with a number. And he said,
well, you just communicated
so
that
he
time.
Said, he said, you're communicating now. So communication, just the exchange of data, we can exchange data, but that's not adequate for marriage. What we need to learn to do is exchange. We're trying to exchange our personhood. We're reaching for more than just communication. We're reaching for communion. And so there are many ways to commune with the person, even without using words. Communion has to do with feeling the unity. Feeling the oneness. And I know that a couple could be in the same room, like maybe a couple likes to read in the evening or have a cup of coffee and just sit and relax.
Play some cribbage.
Yeah, play cribbage. They could be interacting in a way like that. They could interact in a way like that. But they don't even necessarily have to interact to sense the presence of the other person and have a sense of appreciation for the other person, even without saying it. Mm-hmm. Just sitting and being aware of the other person and acknowledging in your heart your appreciation for the other person. Now, it may not seem like a lot, but in your own personal journey toward communion, it's huge to be able to, because a lot of people, we've talked before on the show about couples that, what happens quite frequently where a married couple will get to a point in their marriage, sometimes after many decades or numerous decades, and where they simply don't like one another.
Mm-hmm. And, that's another show.
Yeah, that's another show. And the but just the exercise of setting and contemplating the goodness of the other person is even a stretch for those people without even telling the person what you're thinking. So there's something about breaking up fallow ground in our heart by being proactive and intentional about having appreciative thoughts of the other person, and that promotes communion. And it promotes communion and communication.
It's interesting that the Eucharist is called communion as well. Mm-hmm. And there's probably some significance to that.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I always have a little bit of a struggle when we're having communion at church, because we're talking about blessing the sacraments or blessing the elements, and we're not talking about blessing one another. And that the communion of the body has to do with not only the risen Christ, but the Christ within all of us and in our the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so in communion, I would like to hear sometime kind of an extension of that, the appreciation, because it is one loaf and it is one cup. Mm-hmm. And one body. And so that's a good point. The as I say, the communion extends to all relationships. Mm-hmm. But so much marriage is so quintessential, I think, in terms of relationship, because in marriage there's the requirement, if you're going to succeed in marriage and have the fullness of marriage, the full benefit of marriage, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to be vulnerable.
Do you think communication breaks down because the style of communication is going wrong? I mean, where you're just kind of trading insults and things. I mean, obviously it breaks down when that happens, but because you want to be frank in what you want to be able to talk openly about what's bothering you. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that? How do you get across some real disappointments you have without hurting the other person's feelings?
Yeah,
because you've got to be able to talk about what's bothering you.
It is, and it's a building process, line upon line, precept upon precept, if you will. First of all, the other branches of the love triad, trust and forgiveness, those are important in answering the question that you're asking too. But I tell people you have to start communing, as we were talking about, having appreciative thoughts of the other person and even sharing those things, or practicing affectionate communication. When I say affectionate, I don't mean having to do with touch and intimacy, but having to do with, you know, affection, appreciation, respect, honor. And you want to practice those things during times when it's not a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, you find your spouse in the kitchen doing something or in the garage doing something, and you just walk up and you give them a touch, or you say, I really appreciate you, and I appreciate the things that you – just practicing building trust, practicing building giving, practicing building communion – not waiting until a crisis time to try and draw on tools that you really don't have, trying to draw on care and that you really haven't cultivated.
Mm. What's going on with a person who has difficulty receiving compliments? I've been told by my wife will say nice things to me, and I'll just kind of brush them off and say, oh. And, mm-hmm. and so what's going on there? What is that? When a person can't receive doesn't receive praise well, I mean, of all things.
Yeah, could be a number of things. Sometimes it could be that I don't want to accept the accolade because it may start me down a path of more responsibility.
Okay.
There might be also be some family of origin things where those kinds of things weren't shared, because it is a language. It is a language of receiving appreciation, and if you're not used to hearing it, then you've built up a resistance to it. Perhaps growing up, the only time a person got that kind of appreciation was when they had actually not achieved something, but they were being encouraged. So maybe it doesn't really represent.
They feel like you're just kind of trying to manipulate me or something.
Yeah.
Or you don't, and it gets back to trust.
And then the other thing that seems obvious is if someone pays me a compliment and I blush and shrug, and part of it is that I just don't know. I haven't practiced how to respond. I remember when my wife was still working, her job took her into a lot of higher social circles, and I would tag along in my zoot suit, my tuxedo, when we had these events, and I had to learn how to field compliments, and it was just really getting used to hearing my voice say, "Oh, I appreciate you saying that," and following up with something. So a lot of it, I think, is just we don't practice it, so we don't know how to respond, and so we kind of blush and shirk. I have a friend, of sorts. People know him, Phil Kagi, and I say he's my friend because he calls me a friend, but he calls everybody a friend. So,
right.
So I say he's a friend. I remember him talking about he gets all kinds of accolades.
Sure. You're the best guitar player in the world, or whatever. You're better than Jimi Hendrix.
And he just had a way of handling it. And I've been with him times backstage, say, for example, when someone will come up and say something like that to him, "You're the best guitarist," and something like that. And he doesn't really believe that, but he handles it very well. He will say something like, "Well, thank you for your kind words," and it's not that he has a particular feeling. I think I've learned, but he's learned he's used to hearing himself respond, and so it comes out naturally.
It takes practice.
It's part of it. It takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to be gracious and accept. And one of the things we do when I talk about communion, communication is part of it. And so I'll go through some communication tools. And so one of the things we start with is self-analysis. So you had asked the question previously, having to do with, when you're in a tight situation or in a uncomfortable conversation. How do you draw on this concept of communing and proper communication? You're caught off guard in a situation, and so part of that answer was practice during these other times. But part of it also is communication tools. So one of the things I start off people with is self-analysis. If you're saying pass the salt or something like that, you don't need to go through this list. That's pretty, unless you're very angry and you're saying, shouting past the salt. Primarily if we're in conversations where it's a conversation that we don't get through very easily and we know we're going to have trouble, then I started off with self-analysis. So I say, why am I about to say this? Do I have to say it? What is my true motivation? And based on my motivation, if it's accusatory, for example, what kind of a response should I get? So there are a few other tools. We can brush across those after the break.
Okay. We are looking at the love triad, really fleshing out what it means to have good communication. We'll get into trust and forgiveness. After the break, people are intrigued by your approach to this subject in marriage counseling or anything else, and they need help in their relationships. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. The website is BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find many, some years of podcasts and also this podcast. Also, contact information if you want to contact me through the website. I also have an office in Edmonds and Kirkland, and I'm doing an awful lot of Zoom or virtual counseling these days as well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are. Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, we are looking at the love triad this week, which is trust, forgiveness, and communication, or communion, as Daniel said. And you want to tell us a little bit more about some communication tools.
As I said, I do teach communication tools. They're pretty common sense. You could come up with a list of your own, but I think that my list serves pretty well. So I started off with, before I even get to the communication tools, I start off with self-analysis, and which eliminates a lot of the things that I would say. Sometimes people say, you know, I've told my spouse so many times to do this, straighten up something or other, you know, and all I get back is some sort of resistance. And so we talk about self-analysis, and I'm going to share something, let's say, with my wife, and I know that it is going to introduce a topic that almost always goes sideways, and So before I even open my mouth, I should ask myself, why am I even bringing this up? Is this really because this is a topic that we need to resolve in order for our relationship to move forward in a positive way? Or do I have an axe to grind? Am I trying to get something back? Am I trying to vent some frustration? Because if those are my motivations, then I cannot expect a positive response. And so if I get a negative response, I shouldn't at all be surprised. So I want to self-analyze first, and that would eliminate a lot of the things that I would say. Mm. Then next is I want to be careful of the timing. Is this the right time to bring this up? If I can see the person is already frustrated or overwhelmed and or very busy, maybe this isn't the proper time. And so after timing, I want to look at the very words that I use. I want to stay away from accusatory language, rhetorical questions, condescension, anything like that, because what I'm trying to do, if my message or if my information or if my question is important, I need to code it in such a way that it won't be misunderstood. So my coding tools are timing, the words I use, my tone of voice, even I love you can be said in such a way that it's an insult. Hmm. And then finally, my body language. I could add my facial expression, but body language. And so all of those things are things that I have to use those tools, you know, if I'm talking to someone that – and let's say I open this question up, this topic up, and my wife immediately gets upset. I can do some things. I can watch my tone of voice. I can watch my words, my tone of voice, and my body language. I can be intentionally less aggressive, less, you know, of course, I don't want to be accusatory. I can use my language, my words, my tone of voice, my body language to join her instead of judging her and talking down to her. I can join her in a way that I accept responsibility or I acknowledge my own personal faults. So there are things that obviously that it's a pretty broad topic, but that's kind of like hitting the tops.
Yeah.
Of the
yeah. Don't tell them. Right, don't tell them you shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or you learned that early in marriage.
Yeah. Or it's not about you. Yeah, right. It's not personal. Right. Those kinds of things are right. Those aren't going to get you very far.
No, I shut things down right away.
Empathy. I talk about enlarging the overlap or the communion in the relationship has to do with empathizing, sharing reality, and sharing boundaries. Boundaries being the pathways that promote the relationship, not just get out of my room, get away from me. That's a boundary, but that's not a proper boundary. But boundaries are actually pathways that promote our healthy relationship. So moving on to another one of the three of the love triad. Let's talk about forgiveness. And this is a very interesting one. And I've actually written an article for the listeners on the love triad. It's the title of the article is Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion. Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion. And you would find that at the website ChristianCounselorsForum.com. ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And it would be in the archives. So you want to go to ChristianCounselorsForum.com and hit the sidebar and go into the archives. And about halfway down, you'll find Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion. So talking about forgiveness right here, the English word, very interesting, for and give, and then the counter is for and get. So you have the clear idea of giving and giving and receiving. And we use forget to mean something close to amnesia. But I like the English word. It's the counter of, or the converse of giving is getting, giving and receiving. So in order to promote the communion and the trust in the relationship, there has to be a relationship where the couple is giving and receiving. And the for part, the F-O-R, prefix to forgive and forget or for receive has to do with, like if you're a golfer and you, I don't know if they do this anymore, I think maybe they still do, but when you tee off, you holler for, and the idea is you're warning people that the ball's going to be coming down out
only
of the sky.
Only if you're slicing it or whatever.
Yeah.
If it's going straight down the fairway, you shouldn't be saying
people
for.
Shouldn't be there.
No.
But the idea is for describes the arc of the ball. And so the ball has an arc because I'm trying to get over an obstacle. And that's the same with forgive and forget or for receive. We go over the obstacle, and then the important part of forgiveness is givenness. It's not the for part, but it's the given part. And so I talk to people about in your relationship, be proactive about giving yourself to the other person and receiving the other person. We have this giving and receiving, giving, receiving. Mm. Always reminded of the words of Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he's actually saying, give yourself to them or give me to them because they don't realize that they're what they're doing. Mm. And so it's not just expunging or erasing the fault. That happens in very in relationships that are very impersonal. You know, if you get a traffic ticket, the judge can forgive you the debt. But you don't have any kind of a relationship with that judge. Mm. In fact, you may not want to see him again. Mm. But in the marriage relationship, it is a intimate relationship, and so it does have to do with giving, receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how that the giving and receiving is almost synonymous with communion, if not. Mm-hmm. So then, moving on to trust, and a lot of times people stumble over trust because they have a particular expectation of the other person, and it's sometimes an unrealistic expectation. Let's say, for example, I've had a lot of marriage situations where one will accuse the other person of being a liar, a compulsive liar. So I want to know what do you mean by lying? And so sometimes it might be something like, well, you know, he or she said they bought a loaf of bread, and actually they bought two loaves of bread, and so that would be a lie. Now, why would that be considered a lie? It's because there's some underlying desire to alienate the person. Because that could be easily explained. I wasn't thinking when you asked me how many loaves of bread I bought. I didn't know that it mattered how many loaves. I got an extra loaf. I mean, that could be explained away, but the person that's accusing the other person of being a liar is not really wanting communion, is not really wanting. So you could have a list of things that I don't trust my spouse to do, and I'm sure every husband and wife could make at least a short list of things that they don't trust.
It could be, much more serious issues, obviously, than how many loaves of bread.
Yeah, so my wife, it's only been recently that she's trusted me with the washing machine because I tried that one time and filled the whole room with suds because I put the soap in the wrong slot. So she had to train me on that. So we'd have a list of things that we don't trust one another with, but that doesn't mean I don't trust her. But what do I mean by trust? It doesn't mean that I trust her to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. It means that I trust her with me. So she may have, and I may have, I certainly have, instead of calling me a liar, my wife would call me an airhead. And there may be things that she, you know, she won't trust me maybe always to remember my glasses or my wallet or where she's going that day.
Mm-hmm.
But she trusts me with her, and that's the point. So this love triad has, again, trust, forgiveness, and communion. Again, you can find the article at ChristianCounselorsForum.com in the archives, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, trust, forgiveness, and communion.
The love triad. Okay, more details again at ChristianCounselorsForum.com for articles and, of course, podcasts too at BibleBasedCounselor.com. If people are interested in your ministry, your counseling work, and they need help with their own life, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. As Mark's mentioned, the website is BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you can find the podcast. And also, people contact me, email me through that website. I have an office in Edmonds and an office in Kirkland, and I do a lot of Zoom counseling as well.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.